Hello and welcome to this very special bonus episode of Betch Slapped. I'm Sammy Fishbein and I am joined by Enty Lawyer, who you may remember from when we did an episode with him from a while ago.
Hi, Sammy.
Hi. The fans say hello as well. They're very excited and submitted a bunch of questions to me for me to ask you. So let's get right into it. This whole Kate and William scandal, do you have the tea?
You know, this is, it's really interesting. And people think that this is some kind, first of all, I mean, William, you're bald and, you don't look so good. And Kate looks pretty good. So, maybe you want to rethink this whole thing. But, this is not the first time that he's actually cheated on her. So I don't understand really why people are such up in arms. I guess maybe because it's the first time that it's been publicly talked about that, that he cheated while they've been married. But while they were boyfriend and girlfriend, he cheated on her all the time.
Right. I definitely remember reading that. And that, I mean, I remember when people used to call her Weighty Katie. So I'm sure this brings her back to those days in sort of a really sad and it's just a sad way. But so in terms of this affair, I hear it's been going on for a long time. And apparently she is somewhat of a friend of the Williams. How close are they? Yeah. Are Kate and this woman, Rose Hanbury, really?
Well, the Marchioness of Cholmondeley, Rose Hanbury, they're pretty close. Now, here's the thing, is that one of the people that William cheated on Kate with back in the day was Rose. So this is not somebody that just kind of came out of the blue. But what you have to realize is that all of these people all know each other and they all hang out together because it's almost like you have to be a certain level before you can get into this group, and then it's kind of incestuous. I kind of think of it almost as like Hollywood, where, wow, that person slept with that actor, and then they slept with this person, and then they slept with this person, but that person slept with that person. Then when they were dating, it just kind of everybody takes a turn with everybody else.
Right.
So they are very close. They always hung out. This is a rural rival is what they said, because they hang out in the country. And this is somebody that William hooked up with. And, so they are close. They ran around the same circles. And it was first reported, which is interesting, by, I think, somebody from The Sun. And the libel laws in England, well, there's a couple of things. The libel laws in England are a lot different than they are here. Plus, there is a protection for the royal family. So if the royal family says you need to remove that, they have to. It's kind of a law. And you will also see, if you ever read the Daily Mail and if you see any articles about Kate and William, there will be no ads on that. So if you click on the story, there are no ads on either side of the page. It's just them. So there's all these little tiny nuances and rules. So the royal family said, hey, we're going to stick our lawyers on you unless you remove this. So obviously they just want to remove. They don't want to have a fight with the royal family. So they removed it. And so it took a while for it to kind of trickle over to the U.S., I guess, where people kind of started reporting on it. And then it's just suddenly took off in the last couple of days. But it's been out, so to speak, for, I guess, I don't know, a month or something like that, a little bit over a month. And it was The Sun, and they said that she wanted William to phase Rose out. So then they weren't going to be in the same social circles anymore. But it's interesting, and I don't know if William will do that. Maybe he will because of the pressure. But at the same time, I think he was told the same thing about a woman named Jekka. And Jekka is a woman that he dated, that he cheated on Kate with, and that was the cause of the 2007 breakup. And Jekka is somebody that he's always hung out with. He went to Jekka's wedding and left Kate behind when he went to Jekka's wedding. There was a trip that after, I guess, Kate and William had been married a couple of years, and he went on a trip with Jekka and a couple of the guys. Her husband did not go. And it was just William, a couple of guys, including Harry, and Jekka. And Kate stayed home. Jekka was the only woman that came. So, So that relationship to me is more, that would be, and Kate never said, oh, you need to stop hanging out with Jekka. Conversely, you know, Kate has always kind of, I don't know, she's been very close to one of her exes, the ex that she dated prior to William, and some say also when the 2007 breakup that she dated this guy, his name is Rupert Finch, and he's a lawyer in London, and he's married to a Marquesa or something like that. And Kate has gone on public outings with Rupert and not with his wife. So Rupert has some charities that he's involved in, and funny enough, Kate is on the board of those charities, or at least will go support all the charities that Rupert is involved in. So, you know, she's got her own connections to the past too. Now, she seems to be on better terms with Rupert's wife than Kate is with, say, Rose's husband or something, because Kate does wear, Rupert's wife is a designer, and Kate wears her on a fairly frequent basis.
Would you say that the Kate and Rupert relationship, whatever it is that a sexual affair, or is that more of like an emotional affair?
I think it's emotional. I think it's not, I don't think it's sexual. I think it's emotional. And I think that Kate still says, you know, maybe I should have gone with the whole Rupert thing and not had to subject myself to this, because now she's in a position where, you know, she's being publicly, she can't respond. Right? She's not allowed to respond. The palace has to do the responding for her. So it would be, is, you know, if your significant other cheated on you, the entire world knew that they cheated on you or was talking about it, and you were not allowed to say anything about it.
Right. Well, I imagine in her position, she's like, she must be very resentful. Like, she gave up really any semblance of a private life for the rest of her life so that she could marry William. Right. She stayed with him for years and years while he cheated or just wouldn't commit for a long time. She gave him 3 children, and it seems like she's a pretty good mother. And then he just kind of turns around and does this. And it just seems like such a lack of regard, because she's really pretty defenseless in the situation.
She is. And it's kind of, I, you know, if we were trying to liken it to something in Hollywood or something like that, it would be if somebody had signed a non-disclosure agreement, and I'm thinking just off the top of my head, somebody like Jordan Woods, right? So she gets accused of, you know, whatever with Tristan Thompson, which probably rightfully so. But no matter, when Chloe piled on top of her, Jordan couldn't say anything because she was bound by this, you know, the non-disclosure agreement. So she could not say anything. She could address what happened with Tristan as much as she could, but she couldn't, you know, fight back at Chloe, because she's not allowed to say anything negative about Chloe or any member of the Kardashian Jenner family. So she's not allowed, she's basically trying to fight with both of her hands tied behind her back. And it's the same kind of thing here. And Kate has had to put up with it. If you know, this Jekka person, Kate and William had moved in together. I think they moved in together back like, maybe in 2003. It was right before William turned 21. And instead of Kate getting to sit next to him at the 21st birthday party, it was Jekka. So, you know, yeah. So it was just like, oh my goodness. It's been going on and on. And that's, so maybe Kate said, look, I can't do anything about Jekka. That's just going to be, and Jekka is married, but maybe she said, I can do something about Rose, and I don't want you to see Rose anymore.
Why does she think she can do something about Rose, but not about Jekka?
Because I think Jekka, it just goes, that relationship just goes way back. It goes back to the pre-Kate years. He met Jekka, I think, back in 2000 or something like that. He spent a year at the ranch owned by Jekka's parents. And the families have known each other for much longer. So there's just no way that she's going to be able to get Jekka out of his life. But okay. She can do Rose. She can get Rose out of the life. Because one of the things is that Jekka, she grew up in Kenya, but she and her family they went to London all the time. And Camilla's deceased brother was the best friend of Jekka's dad.
Shut up.
So, yeah.
That's insane.
So that's, and I had to get that relationship right. So Mark Shand is Camilla's brother who died, and he was the best friend of Ian Craig, who's Jekka's father. Yes. So that. So there's no way that Kate is ever going to be able to dislodge that relationship, right?
Got it.
So even if it's emotional, sexual, whatever, she can't do anything about it. However, she can do something about this Rose person.
Okay. So can you tell us what is Rose's deal? Like, what's her deal? Is this a serious, is this really like an emotional relationship? Like, is William in love with her? Or is this kind of just a, like, does he just have kind of like wandering eyes and he can't control himself? And this is just kind of like one of the many?
I think it's just one of the many. I mean, here's something that I would like to speculate out loud about to you. Okay. Is this. Who is the person, and we both don't like her, but who's the person that nobody likes at the palace right now?
Meghan.
Right. So, one of Meghan's best friend is a gossip person, is Lainey from you know, Lainey Gossip. But Meghan knows how to do this kind of thing. How can Meghan get all the spotlight and all the negativity off of her and get the negativity onto a person that she thinks is responsible for all the rumors about her?
So do you think that this is like kind of sparked by Meghan trying to get like counter stories out?
Well, I think it's Meghan trying to get back at William because, you know, it's William and Kate who has supposedly been saying, oh, there's all this drama with Meghan, and, you know, and Harry and William haven't been getting along because of Meghan, right? So it's, you know, so how can I get back? And, you know, he's, you know, insulting my husband or whatever. So how can I get back? Well, I know the story about William cheating with Rose. So I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Right. I mean, I've seen theories that that really what the rift between William and Harry is about is actually about this affair. But I have my intuition tells me that it's kind of both. Even if you are just speculating that it's Meghan's fault that this is now out there, I do think that that both can be true, that Meghan can be a diva who Kate doesn't like and is kind of a bitch. And William could also be cheating on Kate at the same time, and both could be happening.
Right. And like I said, Rose has a history with William. They dated years ago. Rose's grandmother, all these relationships, Rose's grandmother was a bridesmaid in Queen Elizabeth's wedding.
Right.
So, you know, she has been around. And then she is, you know, it's part of this group of people that live near each other in the country. And then they just hang out. I don't think that she has any agenda. I think that she might end up getting divorced now because, I mean, her husband's going to say, look, you know, everybody's looking at me, and if I don't do something, I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll be very British about it and just pretend it never happened or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure. It's interesting. It's kind of nice to see, well, not nice, but I mean, gossip wise, it's fun to have something to talk about this way, you know, like this.
Right.
Other than
Same.
Meghan.
Do you think that there's maybe a whiff of a dynamic between Kate and this Rose woman where, so Kate is obviously a commoner. Rose, even though she's not royalty, she comes from nobility more naturally. Do you think that there is something of like attention around that, or is that like not related to this?
I don't know. I mean, you know, here's something else. You know, we know that Rose dated William back in the day, but we don't know how serious it was or anything like that. Maybe Kate thought it was just, you know, oh, you know, they hooked up a long time ago and it's nothing. And he told her it was nothing. And then maybe she found out that it was, you know, not just this. Maybe it's been going on for years and nobody knew.
Right. Right. Do you think that is there any word out there about whether or not this is like love or if it's just an affair?
I mean, I haven't heard, you know, either way. I mean, the royal gossip is tough. You know, it's really tough to come by. It has been so much easier because of Meghan, because Meghan talks to people who talk. Right.
Right.
She can't help herself. And, you know, she has that Instagram thing and she is, you know, direct messaging all of her friends that she, you know, that she used to. And those people are talking.
What's her Instagram now?
That Royal Sussex one.
Oh,
right?
she's the one who's in charge of it.
She controls it.
And she DMs from that?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
To her friends. I know. Well, to her friends, and then, you know, her friends talk, because this is just what they do. Oh, they said, oh, Meghan's this. So it's been so much easier to get royal gossip. It, you know, the only time I would ever get royal gossip in the past would be, you know, when Britney Spears, you know, was hooking up with them or something like that, because then it would come from that camp, you know. But the other side is very tight-lipped. Or if Harry would come to the U.S. and party or something like that, you'd get that. Or when he was in Canada and he partied there, you'd get it from the wait staff there and, you know, going home with a waitress or something like that. But if that's one half, but that other half is always super hard to get.
Right. Did so I heard that Rose is actually the one who was like talking about this with people. Is it her or is it Meghan?
I don't know. I speculated out loud about Meghan. I mean, here's the thing with Rose. Does Rose, what would be Rose's point to do it? Because William's not getting divorced, right? So would she be doing it because she feels like she was wronged by William? Is she doing it because Kate kicked her out of this group? Because here's the thing. When Kate kicks you out of the group, like at least as far as Kate and, you know, that kind of relationship, then this other group of whatever they call themselves, the turnip toffs or something like that.
Yeah.
Do all of them have to, you know, disassociate with her all? Yeah, exactly. So has she seen her entire social circle go to zero?
Right. That's a good question.
Because of what Kate said. And so then, hey, I'm going to get back and I'm going to say, why are you doing this to me? It's William, you know, also. How come, you know, nothing's happening to him?
Right. So you said they're not going to get divorced. I also don't get the sense that they're going to get a divorce. Do you think that the marriage is like emotionally done, or, and they're just staying together because they have to, or that they actually are like in love still and this, you know, it's just an affair as they happen?
I don't get the sense that they've been in love for a long time. I think, you know, when I talk about this trip that happened in 2013 with Jekka, that to me shows that it's kind of like a convenience thing. You know, it was time for William to get married, right? And unless he was just going to start all over with somebody, then, because Jekka didn't want to. Jekka wanted no parts of being where Kate is now, or else she would have been there. And that was her thing. That was not her. So I think ever since that trip, that it hasn't really been I don't see the in love part. Now, what I saw, because even this, when Harry was living with them, when it was just Harry, William, and Kate, and they're all over in Kensington Palace, it seemed to me that Kate and Harry hung out all the time, and that you never saw the Kate and William hanging out. And right. It was always Kate laughing with Harry. And it was, you know, Kate hanging onto Harry's arm. Or when they would go to an event, it was always Harry and Kate. And William sometimes wouldn't go. And I sensed that there was more joy and happiness when Kate was with Harry than I ever get with Will. I always feel like it's duty. And just like I have to go to an opening of something, this is what I'm going to do. And now there's this, you know, this affair that's become, you know, public. And now we have to go on a trip. And then we're going to ostensibly celebrate our 8th anniversary or whatever it is, you know?
Right. So what is Kate really, what do people say Kate is really like?
Oh, see, now here's the thing. I liken Kate, if you're looking for a Hollywood equivalent, I liken her to a Katie Holmes, where she was in this kind of loveless, contracted, can't get out of marriage with Tom Cruise, right? But Katie Holmes prior to the marriage was like the most amazing person, always smiling, always laughing, always the life of the party. Since she's left Tom, she's still kind of, you have to get her in the right situation. You have to get her kind of drinking a little bit. And then she goes back to being pre-Tom Katie. It's like he totally affected who she was and her personality and that joy. And I think it's the same with Kate. If you look at Kate prior to getting married, she was the life of the party. I mean, she went to a party where it was all about rabid dildos, rabid vibrators or whatever. And it was a celebration of rabid vibrators. And she could never do that now. And she was there like the first person there. And she was always, you know, having fun. And the clothes that she wear were demonstrably different than the clothes she wears now.
Yeah.
She would wear like the shortest skirt. She would wear crop tops. She would, you know, a lot of skin. just having fun. I mean, she was 25 years old, I think, when they split in 2007. And she just was like going for it. Pippa moved in and they were going out every night, and she was just the life of the party. And I think that Harry allowed her to continue to be the life of the party in a certain sense, where they could play around and mess around and have fun because they all lived in the palace together. And then when Harry got Meghan, all that kind of went away.
All
that fun, little bit of fun that she had left.
Well, is it possible that she sort of like changed her style of dressing and her like partying behavior because she was like A, getting older, and B, now getting married? And she, I mean, I think of all the royals, I think she is the only one who I'm like, you do it right all the time. Like she doesn't like have many missteps the same way that like there's always something with the other ones. Like there's always like they did this wrong or something. She's very like on her game in a lot of ways. And that's why that's one of the reasons I can never really see them getting divorced, because I really feel that she sees this as like her duty. It's her duty to raise the heirs to the throne, and she wants to continue doing it. So I don't know. Do you think that there's any chance that it's just like that because she's basically been dating this guy since she was like pretty much her whole adult life? It doesn't really seem like she's had much of a time where she's been able to just be privately not identified with him in some ways. Like maybe that really did like change who she grew up to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is, you know, if you go back and you look at pictures of her in university before they got together, I mean, just, and then look at her later. I get what you're saying. And I think you're right 100% that they'll never get divorced because she considers it her duty. When she made that commitment, she said, I'm going to do this. I know I have to do this. And no matter what, you know, I'm not going to get divorced. I'm going to raise the kids, you know, to be, you know, the future king or whatever. But here's the thing. I want you to think about in your mind, Diana, who also rarely, she made some missteps, but things were a little lot different back then, and there was still so much more protocol. But think about how happy she was after she got out of that, right? She was just this, she did her duty, she did what she was supposed to do, and all this kind of stuff. And then think about like the revenge dress, that black strapless dress when she got out of the marriage, and just, she was always smiling. She was always laughing. You never didn't see her laughing.
Right.
Right. And I think that Kate, I think she's a very generally, I think that Harry being with Meghan has really negatively impacted Kate's, I don't know, happiness, because of the fact that she had a partner in crime with Harry, no matter what. And, you know, did the duty thing with William, and now it's just duty, and I don't know if she sees the fun.
That's very interesting. I wonder if she'll have more children.
I don't know. Let me ask you this. Do you think that she had a surrogate for any of them?
I don't have any reason to think that. Are you telling me that she did?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, that's always like, you know, it's the whole, you know, when Beyonce, you know, had the
I do believe just, Beyonce had a surrogate.
Oh, for sure. On the first one. For sure.
Yeah.
But I think that there was just a lot of that speculation because, you know, you never really saw Kate other than, you never saw her more. She always had one size bump. Right?
Right.
She never got huge because she would disappear. And she disappeared also for the first 3 or 4 months because of whatever.
Doesn't she have like hyper, I don't know how to say it, hyperemesis or something?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what we were told, right? Do we know?
No.
But I'm just saying she disappears for the first 3 or 4 months because she gets morning sickness. And then she disappears for the last 2 or 3 months to get ready for the baby. And there's only like this little 2 month gap that we ever saw her.
Right.
Unlike with Meghan, you know, you saw her pretty much from the beginning up until a couple of weeks ago. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that it's definitely like potential. She doesn't strike me. I mean, she does seem to like gain weight, like pre and like post baby. Like she does seem not as small as she usually is. And then she loses
not.
The
yeah,
weight.
Yeah.
And then she like loses the baby weight, and you kind of see that happening. So I don't really think that she used a surrogate. But it's so, I don't know. I always sort of saw them as a loving couple because they had been together so long. even though they obviously have some, you know, people are together a really long time, the dynamics change. And I feel, and I always felt that I just wrote off their like lack of like obvious affection as part of like being British, being royal. And the fact that like, they're just very like, they've been together a long time. They're very comfortable with each other. But I remember after they got married, they were a bit more affectionate in public than they are now.
For sure. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So remember, so they got married, in 2011, right?
Yeah.
So 2011, they get married. And I think that they had a great time. And then for 2 years, they are affectionate. And then look what happens in 2013 when he goes on that trip with Jekka. And then look at Kate pre-2013 and then post-2013 in her dealings with William. And I think that they are noticeably less affectionate with each other.
I will look into that. Okay. Yes. So I feel like this has been very enlightening. We have a few more minutes. So I just want to hear like a quick 5 minutes, your take on the Britney Spears situation overall. I'm not going to ask you any questions yet. I mean, I might when I come up with them, but like, but I just want to hear your take on it.
Okay. So I did a podcast episode last week.
I listened to that, but I feel like a lot has happened since.
There has been a lot. Okay. And here's my take. So I did a podcast, just the episode was just about why I don't think that Britney is being held against her will. Okay. And because of the following things. Number one, when you become a conservatee like she is, you get an attorney appointed by the court, nobody else. The court says, I want this person to represent Britney's interests. Okay. And that's all they do is represent Britney's interests. They get paid by the government. They don't get paid by anybody else. Okay. So you have that. Then you have her boyfriend, you have her sister, you have her mom, who could all say, okay, she, you know, we don't like what's going on. We would like her to, you know, we would like to become the conservators because we think that she's being, you know, held against her will or whatever. And Sam Leslie tried that many years ago. Luckily he failed. So there is that possibility that was available. Now, what I think has happened since, and this is really disturbing to me, is that because of this pressure that was put on by this movement of Free Britney, she's getting released, you know, way earlier than she should have been. You know, there was a waitress who waited on them that sent me a tip from this last weekend, and Britney was a zombie. And that's kind of normal because they're trying to figure out what meds and what combination and what amounts work for her, because the ones that she was using weren't working for her anymore. So they found new medicines, but it takes a while. But the problem is that with this whole Free Britney thing, the family's feeling this pressure to get her out of there sooner than they should.
But do you think that okay, I hear all that. And I definitely think that she like should potentially like, it doesn't seem like she should be without medication, but regarding the fact that her father is the conservator and the fact that like financially it's in their interest for her to continue performing and making money, and that she's, and now they're making the argument like a conservatorship is for someone who can't provide food and shelter and anything for themselves, but that because she clearly is, she's performing to crowds, she's going on tour, she was a judge on The Voice, that is not the same as someone who can't provide for themselves. And that if they really had her best interests in mind, perhaps she would not be performing. But because they're financially incentivized for her to keep performing, they're not necessarily doing the thing that's in her best interest. Like, why should she be doing meet and greets with people that she clearly hates? And
yeah. I have said from day one of like, I did a 6-part Britney episodes. You know, I think that Britney would be happiest back in Louisiana living her life. Okay. Right. I think that if that's where she should go, I think that she should. Okay. But the thing is that people don't realize that yes, her dad makes money off her dad has been making money off of those since prior to the conservatorship. And the thing is, every single dollar that she makes is available for you or for me to go look in the public court records. Every dollar that her dad gets paid is shown in public records. He doesn't get paid, you know, a substantial sum of money. There's all of the money that she's making is generally going into her coffers. I mean, it's there for her. And remember, before he took over, she was down to zero.
Right.
Okay. She had no money. Okay. And I think that we all agree that she would probably be dead.
Okay.
If he hadn't stepped in. Yeah. If he hadn't stepped in. Now, is he controlling? Yeah. Do I like the guy? Not really. But at least he, you know, he fought against Sam Luthy, which was something that needed to be done. I think that Brittany would be happiest at home. I mean, the last time I talked to Brittany was right before the conservatorship, I guess. So I'm not able to talk to her like I used to. I used to talk to her two or three times a day, you know?
Right.
So I'm only going by what, you know, what I've known of her and then the people around her. I think that she'd be happiest in Louisiana just living her life. Okay. I don't know. She does love to perform though. And I don't know if she's performing because she wants to, or because she's being pressured into it, or because she doesn't want to disappoint people. You know, she employs a lot of people,
right?
You know, hundreds. So it's hundreds of people that are depending on her. And I think that she feels that pressure. So if she quits, she knows that she is going to cost 200 people their jobs.
Right. But like, you know, for her own mental health, I feel like that would be worth it. Yeah.
I get that. But you and I looking on the outside, like I said, I think she'd be happiest in Louisiana. But I think that she thinks to herself that she's going to be letting down people if she does that. And I don't think that she thinks about it in a mental, you know, health kind of, you know, way that she should. So, you know, I think that she should just go away, go to Louisiana, stay gone for a few years, get right. And if she wants to come back, she can go do Vegas for like a couple of months or something like that. And I think that people would be really excited to see her. I don't know. Have you gone to see her in Vegas?
I have not, but I'm a big Britney fan, and it's really sad. Because at the same time as like, you don't want to think that someone's being like held or forced into anything or controlled, like in terms of the people she can speak to or what she can buy or anything. It's still sad because knowing that she may not be able to actually handle herself. So it's more complex than just she's being held against her will and she needs to be freed. Like, it's a bit more, there are more factors than that.
Well, and Jamie is controlling. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, no phones. She always has to have bodyguards out. And let's not forget that, you know, her last several boyfriends have been paid to be her boyfriend.
Oh,
okay.
Wait, is the current boyfriend, is he being paid or is he just being like provided with like connections and sponsorships?
No, he's getting paid. And the last boyfriend got paid because, I mean, the last boyfriend, the one that worked at the law firm or whatever, as an intern, then, you know, Brittany wants somebody with her all the time. So he has to quit his job. And so they paid him. And even like Trawick or whatever, I mean, he was a manager kind of way. So he got paid from that. And then, you know, he was appointed the co-conservator. I think that a lot of people also, when you go back to the original, did you listen to the podcast that, not mine, the Instagram one?
Yeah. I listened to the episode with when the paralegal called in.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So my thing is, so the conservator that quit, and, you know, I talked about this on, it was the language that he used where he said it would be to the detriment of the conservatee, which is Brittany, if he remained. It would damage her estate, okay? And so conservatorships are of the person and the estate. Sometimes people can take care of themselves, but they can't take care of their money and vice versa. So you can have one, you can have both, okay? And he said that it would be damaging to the estate if he stayed. And this is a guy who just got a raise 6 weeks earlier or 2 months earlier that had to be approved by the court. And he walked away. And I think it has something to do with this quote unquote paralegal. And I'm not sure that that was actually the paralegal or if it was somebody saying that they were the paralegal from the office. But there's something going on with that office where I feel that there's some information that is coming out or been leaked or discovered that's going to involve a lawsuit. And if he remained on, that it was going to affect Brittany's estate, that potentially money would come from her estate if he remained.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So it's a gray situation, I think.
I it's gray, but I get totally what you're saying. I think that if you said, Brittany, what do you want to do? No, but don't listen to your dad. Don't think that you have any kind of obligations to anybody else. What do you want to do? She would say, I want to go back to Louisiana, or I just don't want to perform.
But would she say the conservatorship? She would. I feel like she would say she wants the conservatorship to end. And they've uncovered all these like legal proceedings, these motions that they don't have total transparency on. But it seems like they want that she wants out of the conservatorship. In general,
I think that there's times for sure, because there's times that she has definitely wanted out of it. And the thing is that, again, you've got every year, okay, it has to be renewed. Okay, so every year you go in front of a judge, and every year there's somebody there, an attorney that's appointed for Brittany, who does an investigation, and that attorney who files a report, and the report that they file is what the court goes by. So it really has nothing to do with what Jamie and his attorney say. It has to go by what Brittany is. So every year, this attorney, not every year, but I mean every year there's a report that he writes, and he interviews Brittany and says, do you want to be in it? Do you think that you should be in it? Whatever. And then that attorney gives a report to the court. And that attorney is not, you know, it's totally independent. So I get what Brittany, of course, she doesn't want to be under her dad's thumb, and she wants to be able to make a phone call, and she doesn't want these bodyguards to go everywhere. She wants to be able to purchase something without, you know, everybody knowing, you know, in her family what she gets. Because remember, every purchase that she has becomes public record. So if she goes and buys a $300 shirt or whatever, it's going to show up in the accounting for the conservatorship. So everybody in the country can, or the world can go, you know, look at these records and see exactly what she's bought.
Right.
And how much she's spending on clothes and everything like that. And that's very intrusive.
Right.
And not just intrusive for the public, but intrusive just in the sense that her dad controls what she... I get that. And I'm sure there's a lot of times where she's like, I don't want to be here. Just like Amanda Bynes didn't want to be, you know, under control of her mom anymore. And it started to break free and started to do things and gave the interviews and stuff, and then just totally collapsed again.
Right.
And, you know...
it's so sad. Because they want to be out, but they... Yeah. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, they do. They want to be out. They think that they're going to be okay. And I would give Brittany a chance. Let her go do what she wants to do. And maybe they have. We don't know everything. We don't know if they said, okay, Brittany, look, we're going to let you just make your own decisions for a month and we'll see how you do. Okay. And maybe in that month she decided, I'm not going to take my medicine because I'm feeling better. Or, you know, whatever. We don't know what happened. We don't know if they've given her like 2 or 3 weeks for, you just do whatever you want. And we're not going to, you know, we'll see. We don't know that.
Got it.
You know, if she's been given that opportunity, I would hope that she's been given that opportunity because it has been a long time now with this conservatorship.
Keep going. Sorry.
No, to give her the chance to try.
Right. It's a very right. And she seems like, she doesn't seem like necessarily all there. Like when you look at her posts, like it's a little bit, I don't know, when you like really watch them, it's like a little, it's sad because she really doesn't seem completely like with it. And there's, it kind of is like, what's the right thing for her? And I think it's just really hard on the outside for us to really know.
And one of the other things that we need to, that I've always thought about is, you know, when I did used to talk to her a lot, is that, you know, she was doing a lot of drugs. And I sometimes wonder if she had got some bad drugs, you know, at some point. Mm-hmm. Because when I used to talk to her, I mean, she was not ditzy like in a Jessica Simpson, oh, you know, chicken of the sea, it's not chicken kind of thing.
Right.
And she was very smart. She knew what she was doing. You know, she'd been in the public eye since she was a kid. She knew how to manipulate the press. She knew what to do. She was extremely smart. And then all of a sudden, you know, the behaviors and everything, it didn't fit in to what I knew about her. And then, you know, I'm just wondering, maybe she had a bad reaction to some drugs or something and it affected her mentally. I don't know.
I've definitely heard of that happening.
Because it seemed to me from, you know, like I said, from all my interactions with her and talking to her all the time, I just, it came the behavior kind of came out of nowhere.
Right.
And I don't know if she was on medications before. I don't know. We never had talked about that. So, you know, she, you know, did a lot of drugs. She partied a lot. But she never had the kind of behaviors that she, you know, exhibits now.
Right.
Where she seems out of it all the time. And I don't know if she's out of it because of the medications that she's on, or she's out of it because there's something wrong with her.
Right. Yeah. I mean, sometimes what I see in her is, I don't know if it's medications or anything like that, but what I see in her is someone who sort of got stuck at a very young age, like age 10 or 12 even, because she, I don't know, maybe because she got so famous and she wasn't able to like really develop into an adult without being in the public eye. And that can really, you know, not being able to have genuine interactions with pretty much anybody other than maybe like her sister. I feel like that definitely changes like the way that you are. And when you watch her in the videos, you see her with her kids and the way she acts kind of, and you see her with the boyfriend, and I don't know, it all seems like this very like playing house kind of vibe. And it's just a little odd. Yeah, outside of all that.
I think what you said is like completely 100% correct. And I think also from a young age, I think she realized that, you know, she was earning a lot of money for the family and had that kind of burden on her that Jamie, the sister, and I wish to God they hadn't named Jamie.
I know.
It makes it so difficult to talk about it. So Jamie Lynn, the sister, you know, so Jamie Lynn, thank you. Which also is weird because Lynn, okay, we got the mom, right?
Yeah.
So, but Jamie Lynn, you know, she never had that burden. But the thing is that all this focus was on Britney, which is why Jamie Lynn was allowed to be on the Nickelodeon sets alone, and how she ended up pregnant is because nobody was watching her because they're all concerned about Britney, right? And Britney's our meal ticket, and Britney's this. And it's the same kind of thing you see with Lindsay Lohan, where you have these people that just kind of give up their jobs, and then they totally rely on their teen to make them money, and then they let the teen get away with whatever they want because of the fact that they don't want to say anything to the teen, where the teen gets angry at them and cuts them off.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like you said, there's no normal interaction because she's a star, right? And the Mickey Mouse Club. And then she kind of goes away for a few years, but then she's a star again. And she's been a star her whole life. And they're like, okay, this is what we need you to do. We need you to, you know, you and Justin are going to be, you know, our couple. And, you know, it was just this manufactured thing. She grew up in a time where everything was manufactured. The boy bands were all manufactured. We have to have the good-looking boy. We have to have the tough-looking boy. We have to have the good dancing boy, you know. And so everything is manufactured, and this is who you're going to go out with, and you guys are going to do this, and we're going to pretend that you're virgins, and, you know, all this kind of thing.
Right.
You know,
yeah, it's just, I mean, there's no degree of normalcy. And again, you bringing up Amanda Bynes, Lindsay Lohan, like it's really, I think, hard, and especially hard in this situation because you have the conservatorship and potential actual like mental illness. Like you look at this and you see and it's kind of hard to tell what factors account for what. And then, you know, should she be freed? Is she even being held against her will? Or is this like a necessary thing? Or even if it is a necessary thing, maybe it still is against her will. And it's just, it's a very murky situation.
It is. And the conservatorships are, especially the person, there's a box. Anybody can go look at the form. You can look at the forms. And the person decides, okay, this person's going to have the right to vote, yes or no. I get to decide if this person, who this person has sexual relations with, yes or no. And those boxes are all checked. So, you know, you have your dad deciding who you can have sex with.
Right. That's not healthy. And these boyfriends, the boyfriend to me, I didn't realize he was paid, but to me, the way the boyfriend acts, like he to me seems like a babysitter more than a boyfriend. Like he's escorting her, like a chaperone,
exactly.
Basically. Yeah.
And didn't Jason Trawick seem like a babysitter too?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But then again, that could also be because of like how her mental state is sort of like arrested at a young age. So like any male relationship she has might come off that way.
Yeah. And, you know, and think about also before she got in the conservatorship, you know, she was with Adnan or whatever his name is. I mean, and he was kind of like a babysitter too. You know, these people shepherding her through places, you know? And,
yeah.
And maybe she's looking to them like she looks to her dad for protection and, you know, keeping me safe kind of thing. I don't know. You know? But what kills me is we don't know if they've given her an opportunity. And maybe they should talk about that. Maybe they should be more open about that. Maybe they should say, you know, we tried, you know, we let her do whatever she wanted for 3 months and this happened. But at the same time, you don't want to give away her medical information and stuff like that. So because it's very private what they've done. But I think in this case, when you have this uproar, that maybe it would be time for a little transparency and maybe they could ask Brittany, hey, do you want us to talk about it?
Right. Okay. One more question and then I have to run to another interview. But a lot of people have been saying to me just kind of casually, like not any legitimate sources or anything, but that her team is very embedded with the gossip blogs and the media and that they basically are able to get out whatever message they want, regardless of Britney's side. Would you say that's accurate?
Who? Say the first part again?
Just that many of like the gossip sites and, you know, the big names are very like, they're basically like in bed with her team and they'll kind
oh,
of...
I would, oh, definitely, definitely. Because it's TMZ, you know, they you know, said some stuff and then they retracted it because they were under pressure. Because again, think about TMZ, you know, I've talked about it before, they're owned by Time Warner, which also owns People and Time Magazine and all that kind of stuff. Plus Time Warner owns a recording, you know, a record label and they own a movie studio and things like that. So of course they're going to be in bed with the actual people that are in charge that are making the decisions, because these are the same people that are going to make a decision whether or not, you know, Britney signs with some, you know, does something with Warner or Time or whatever. And, you know, they want to have that access. So, of course, I could totally see that. And I think that you see that with a lot. You'll see people like publicists or whatever speak for an actor or an actress, and that might not be what the actor or actress actually thinks, but this is the message we want out. This is what we want. This is how you're going to spin it. And then often if you interview the actor or actress, they'll go, no, that's not how I feel. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. Everybody, I could totally see them being in bed with Britney's people. Totally. 100%.
Okay. Just
They will always spin that side because they can't get in touch with Britney.
Right.
Right? They can't ask her because they can't reach her. So they, and here, back when Britney was free, you know, there was all these people around her and they could ask, who are you going to ask? There is nobody to ask. It is this locked down kind of an environment. The only time we've ever seen anything asked is when the boyfriend was out a couple of days ago and somebody asked him. That's, you never see that. And he's not allowed to say anything one way or the other anyway.
Right.
So you don't have any independent voices. So, you know, it is completely one-sided and completely controlled by them and, you know, divvied out through the conglomerates.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think that's just a good thing to keep in mind, that when we read things, to take them all with a grain of salt, no matter where we hear them. Even, you know, you could say this one website that's saying Free Britney is not legit, but you know, the same way that these established sites have their own interests, that they need to really
100%.
Go with. Okay. 100%. So this has been so interesting. Thank you so much, Enty. I wish I could call you by your real name.
I know.
Everyone follow Enty Lawyer at ENTY Lawyer on Instagram. Subscribe to his podcast on Patreon.
It's patreon.com/EntyLawyer.
He has an amazing 6-part Britney Spears episode. You also have Meghan Markle episodes. Have you ever done a Kate episode?
No, but there are 225 episodes. I'm catching up to Betches.
Great. Thank you so much. This has been a really good time. And everyone, email slapped@betches.com if you have more questions for Enty and if you would like us to have him back, which I think we will next time we have a good scandal to talk about. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, okay?